Welcome to episode 3 of Apartment 504. I'm Ashley.
I'm Emily.
And this is our first bi-coastal call. So Emily is, we're on the phone together, and we're going to work on audio in the future, but hopefully you can hear us both well.
Yes, we did have some technical difficulties, but we're powering through.
Okay, great. Emily, you had an introduction question for us this week.
I did. So I saw this really incredibly thought-provoking question on Twitter, and I was like, I must pose this to Ashley. So the question was, would you rather have a month of lunches with Kate Middleton or one lunch with Beyonce?
Shout out to Katie Weaver for this question. No, Katie Weaver's friend.
Yes, but Katie Weaver's Twitter.
Katie Weaver's Twitter. She is a GQ journalist, for those that don't know.
Obviously.
Okay, great question. Do you already have an answer in mind?
I do. It was very instantaneous for me, and I think you might know what my answer is.
Okay. I think I know mine, but I think it might be surprising. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, then that makes me think it's not what I thought.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I think there's an obvious one that everyone kind of assumed for me, but yeah. Okay, anyways. Okay, so I'm thinking Kate Middleton.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
What is your reasoning?
Well, I just love Kate. I think she is a wonderful princess. She has two beautiful children, which I would love to talk to her about. Like, endless questions about little George, who I'm obsessed with.
Okay.
Charlotte. Meh, like, I'm sure she'll grow into it, but I love George, and I love Beyonce, but I just feel like 30 lunches is just such a better bang for your buck than one, so, yeah, and plus, you know how private Beyonce is, like, she wouldn't really give up anything of note anyways, you know, she's not going to give you any real dish, I mean, not that Kate Middleton, I guess, would, but maybe over the course of 30 days, you could really build up some rapport, and by the end of it, really get some good info. So that's my answer. What is yours?
Agreed.
I was guessing Beyonce at first for you, but
right
now I think it's not.
Yes. So agreed that the 30 days, I feel like I felt the same way, that you get more bang for your buck, especially because Kate just dabbles in so many things. Like, I think I'd be really interested in, like, you know, the philanthropic work that she does, that she has to do as part of Princess duties.
What a classy answer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, not to say that Beyonce doesn't do these things, but, you know, it just does take up so much of her time. I would love to ask her about Meghan Markle. I don't know why. I don't care.
Ooh,
you know,
yes.
Like, I want to know what she thinks of Meghan. Like, does she actually hate Meghan? Like,
that'd have to be, like, a week 3, week 4 question after you've built up that relationship.
Absolutely. It did remind you of a good point. I do think that Beyonce is so tight-lipped that, and she'd probably be so boring, reminiscent of Jennifer Lawrence interviewing Kim Kardashian. Did you see that yet?
Yes, of course I saw it.
And she was, well, I loved J-Law in it, and I thought she did a great job, but Kim was just so boring.
Yeah, 100%.
And I could see Beyonce.
And that would probably be, yeah, Beyonce.
Yeah.
She's probably out of practice, like you informed me. She doesn't really do interviews anymore. So, yeah, I just don't think she'd be very good.
Why do you think Kim was so boring anyways?
I think that's just Kim's personality.
Oh, okay, so actually the whole allure of this whole family is that, I mean, I guess, I kind of told someone, like, they're all boring except for Chloe.
I think that's true, yeah. I mean, they're all very, very vapid. They are basically the definition of vapid.
Yeah. Like, I think Kylie would sound the same.
Courtney could be the funnest one low-key. Like, not in an interview setting, but if you were to, like, go out,
yeah.
I still think Kim would be boring. I still think Kylie would be pretty boring, and Kendall, but I think Courtney would, like, low-key turn up.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for that introductory question. I thought that was really great.
Yeah, it was a great thought exercise.
So we have a couple topics we want to cover today. I think you know the one that I'm most excited about. So should we build up to it or should we just start with it?
I think we should start with it so that we can, like, adjust the rest of our agenda accordingly.
Okay.
Based on how much time we want to devote.
Yeah, because this could take up the whole time.
Because I know you have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
Should we start by telling people what our Wi-Fi network was when we lived together?
Yes, for context. Go ahead.
So I believe the name of our Wi-Fi network, which was obviously created by Ashley, was Jelena Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that the password?
Yeah. I think that was the password, and certainly was my Facebook password at one point.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so I can't say any of the current passwords that I'm using, but they are also they are also Jelena related. So if you haven't caught on, we want to talk about, or I really want to talk about, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, you know, hanging out again this week after reports of her and The Weeknd split on Sunday. The news came out on Sunday. I think the split probably happened a while before.
Okay. Did you see all the reports about, first of all, like, her and the outerwear?
Wait, what she was wearing?
Yeah, because she went from literally, like, while she's hanging out with Justin, wearing one of the Weeknd's sweaters.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, oh, her and the Weeknd are so chill.
Yeah.
And then the next day, she was wearing, like, Justin's jersey. And I'm right. like, girl, do you not own your own clothing? Like, why you gotta be branding yourself with these men's, like, clothing all over you?
I'm also like, why have you just decided this week to start biking? Like, I don't understand.
Yes, like, you have millions of dollars. Why are you biking everywhere?
I know, and it's fine to bike, but it's like, why? I mean, maybe
she lives in LA. Nobody uses biking as a primary mode of transportation.
But maybe we didn't follow. They're also like pixie bikes too, or whatever they're called, right? They're
beach
like
cruisers.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also just like, maybe we didn't follow her closely enough. Like, maybe she has been biking for years, and we just
no. I think it's, like, the best way for you to get pap. This girl has been, like, I don't know what she's playing at, but she is, I mean, okay, she's just hanging out on a playground on swings now. That's just a part of her new lifestyle, like, right timed with this reconciliation and her interview. Like, what is she playing at?
So that is a thing that I thought of, is, like, she's clearly doing this on purpose, and her and Justin, like, clearly it was discussed that if they were to hang out again, that it would be public. Like, they're clearly...
Yeah, I don't understand this PR strategy. I really don't.
We absolutely know they are powerful enough to hang out together without any pictures whatsoever.
I mean, if Taylor and Joe can do it, they can do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny that you said that the biking is to get paps, because I was thinking maybe they're biking because it's the best way to, like, get away from paps. Like, it's like, because it's, you know.
No, because then you can be in Escalade with tinted out windows and they'll get, like, a much less valuable picture of you behind a car window.
Yeah. So
that's definitely not.
Okay. So it's actually primed. It's primed for paps because they can get your picture, but you can also run away faster than if you were walking.
You're a little faster than if you, yeah. I think it's, like, the perfect way to get yourself in the tabloids, which seems to be the play here, right? Like, she doesn't need to be doing this. They could be having all their rendezvous on a private jet if they wanted to, on a PJ.
Okay, so then, on a PJ. So, okay, so then early reports of it, like, obviously no one has confirmed, and it hasn't been confirmed that they're, like, romantically back together, and then I think early reports were just sources were saying that it's all platonic. Do you believe that?
Well, I think all the sources are saying that, like, Justin's trying to, like, prove that he's changed. He reached out after the operation, and she's unsure. There have been a lot of reports about her family not being happy, about, like, she's still trying to figure it out, and they're just kind of, like, together figuring things out, which I believe. But I also just feel like this is inevitable. Like, we all know where this is going to go. Unless he does something to really F it up. Which he could, because he's Justin.
Right. I have, it's sad, but even after all these years, I still have so little faith in him being able to, yeah, one, turn her family around, and two, just not completely mess it up.
It's not sad. I think it's his track record. Like, he's still so young. They're both still so young. Like, I mean, you don't even have to be young and be that much of, like, look at Scott Disick. So, I mean, I know you're very happy about it, though, right? Is this what you want to happen? Are you, like, waiting for it to happen?
It is what I want to happen. I love it so much. Jelena forever, again. But, and I know that it's not the, it's not necessarily the popular topic, but I did do an exercise this week, and I interviewed a couple people about their thoughts on the couple.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, Emily, you're, you know, definitely skeptical, and...
I'm not against it. I would like to say I'm not against it. I'm just kind of like eye roll emoji, you know?
Eye roll emoji. Okay. So I've gotten some really unexpected support and optimism from my friends, which I really, really appreciate. So Eunice, again, with a shout out, but Eunice said, you know, even though I fell off the Bieber train very hard and loved the unexpected romance that was Selena and The Weeknd, I can't say I'm mad at them being back together. I get the first love thing, which seems to be like everyone's kind of... empathetic point is just the first love thing. Ariel said, I don't think, common theories, but I just like really appreciated that it's all rooted in optimism. But she said, I don't think they can ever stop loving each other. They have so much history and passion and they grew up together. They can't stay away from each other. And I think if Justin is going to grow up now, it could work. I think they understand each other the best and nobody could ever replace that.
I mean, I do feel like what they went through is such a gauntlet. Like, you truly cannot recreate those circumstances of them both, like, becoming adults and also becoming, like, at the height of their fame at the same time. Like, going through such an intense experience must be incredibly bonding, beyond what, like, any normal person can imagine.
Do you think they were talking while she was with The Weeknd?
I I think that the reports that he reached out after her kidney operation are true. So I guess the timing of it would be yes. But, like, maybe just in a, like, hey, like, are you okay? Not, like, a romantic talking.
Well, this makes me Justin's song he released over the summer called Friends, like, which...
It was reported to be about her.
It was reported to be about her, and I thought that was true, and now it rings even more true. What do you think happened with her in the weekend?
I think they grew apart.
Busy schedules.
Busy schedules, you know? He's touring, she's shooting in New York. It's hard. It's hard.
Did you think that they were a good fit at any point? Because I'm kind of still in this school of thought that it was just never really quite compatible in the first place. I was just kind of confused.
I don't know why. I love Selena. I was pretty ambivalent about their relationship. I just feel like to go from Bella to Selena is like an insult to Selena.
Agreed. And then... Also, they were also very public from the very beginning. Like, is this a new thing that Selena's just going for?
Ask me to explain my love for Selena. I think her PR strategy is, like, sort of weird and I don't get it. Like, the publicity with which she's had her relationships seems very thirsty to me. Like, yes, she did go off the grid for a little bit for, like, health reasons. But, like, her and The Weeknd freaking, like, being caught making out, like, everywhere. I was just like, you can do better than this.
But I could also see part of her, like, just feeling so trapped and her talking to her team and being, like, love is, like, so, like, important to me. And, like, you know, like, I could see her being, like, I want to be free in this. Like, I do not want to be, like, because of the Paps, be, like, bounded or be, like.
I don't think she tried very hard to keep it under wraps. I genuinely believe if you actually want to be private, like, you can be. Who's the children's faces we've literally never seen or, like, you know, barely know what they look like. And it's because they choose and they make an effort to stay out of the limelight. And then there's, like, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner who, like, you know, treat their children as a part of their basically public image and trot them out, like, whenever it's convenient, I feel like.
And they are a couple that are commonly Paps, so it's clearly part of their strategy. Do you think Selena feels the same way?
That's what I don't get because I don't even understand what she's trying to promote. Like, I don't get, like, what it is that she's trying to attain with all of this publicity around her relationships.
What makes that different from Jennifer and Ben, who have just always...
I think they have a clear agenda, so I understand it more.
I see.
Because there's a lot of... I mean, I think we've, like, maybe read these same articles or have sent them to you about how, like, Jennifer Garner employs it. And Ben, they employ it. Like, when Ben had all of the, you know, stuff about his groping situation come out, like, next day they were all packed together as a family, like, going to church and going to the farmer's market. And it just does seem very strategic when they do get photographed together as a family.
Speaking of church, Selena and Justin have made me feel so guilty. They're going to church twice in one day?
Yeah, no one does that. Like, they're just going to get photographed, I feel like. Like, how, it's the, if it's a real church, it should be the same sermon. So, like, why are you going to listen to the same sermon twice in a day? No church is doing, like, different sermons twice a day. It's like the pastor's preaching the same stuff. The worship set is the same. There is no legitimate reason for you to be going to church twice a day.
Is it possible they are just so on fire right now? Because there are reports that the church, is what's, like, kind of rooting them or bonding
right.
them.
Right, no, but I'm just saying, nobody goes to the same service twice a day. That's not a thing.
And maybe church is, like, the only, like, neutral thing that they can even be going to together. I mean, she went to his hockey game or whatever that was.
Yeah, and they went biking together.
Like, so why can't you guys just go to the nice guy, like, normal couples?
There are so many questions we could ask here, but they're just not a normal couple.
Okay, my last question on this topic is, when Selena and Justin were together, I feel like it's very clear that Selena's career benefited from that relationship. Do you think in Selena and The Weeknd's relationship, we'll call him Abel, that's what they called each other probably, who do you think felt like they were dating up in that situation?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, how much cachet do we want to give to Selena's Instagram following? Because that's kind of, like, her biggest... I mean, that's a pretty impressive title.
I give a lot. But
you give a lot?
But The Weeknd has, like, has had multiple number one songs in the country, but a shorter career.
He's definitely... So it's, like, more long-term versus short-term gain, right? Because long-term, Selena's had a longer career, but The Weeknd was very hot of the moment when they were dating. So that's a really good question. Ooh, can we say it's a tie?
I kind of think it's a tie as well.
I mean, if you want to look at it just musically, then I would say The Weeknd's dating down. He, I think, has more talent.
Right.
But yeah, if you're looking at their careers holistically, I would say Selena. Actually, I would say Selena has an edge if you're talking about, like, career. Yeah.
Agreed. But do you think that The Weeknd... So, I'm not surprised that Selena got dumped by The Weeknd.
Hey, who said she got dumped?
Oh, okay. Report. So, yeah, do you believe that?
I don't know. That I don't know.
I 100% believe it. I feel like he's going to go back to a Bella character.
I was uninterested in that relationship, and we can continue to monitor the okay. Selena Justin situation.
I'm so excited. And then a Selena related adjacent would be her interview with her best friend Francia came out on Sunday. I don't have too much to say about this, but it was definitely a very touching interview. They were on
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America, talking about Francia doing the kidney transplant.
I didn't watch this interview. I only saw the clips that were, like, released in promos. So can you just fill me in if there was any?
Selena just felt very just grateful, I think, for...
As she should, if someone gave me a kidney.
Yeah.
I realize how in... Well, I guess this is sort of dumb. But just the fact that they were talking about, like, you know, the recovery process, from what I read, it sounded very, very intensive, which makes sense because you've literally given up an organ.
Yeah.
Oh, and also how she said that she was, like, her, the kidney flipped over right after the surgery, and then she had to be rushed back into emergency surgery. Like, that's intense. Selena's seen some shit, guys. Oh, thought exercise.
Yes.
Do we think Taylor would have given up her kidney for Selena if she were a match?
Hundo P, no. But, okay, but Taylor would give, like, $500,000 to find someone that would. That's how I view her.
You don't think she would have given up a kidney?
No.
I mean, she was kind of on a hiatus, so why not? She's got nothing better to do.
I think
she can write songs about it.
She needs the kidney to write songs. Just kidding.
Okay.
Moving on.
Okay. Speaking of Taylor, we spent a lot of time on her the past two pods. I don't think either of us have thoughts on her new song, so I think that's all we have to say about her this week.
Hard pass for this week.
Yeah, but it just felt like we couldn't just not acknowledge her at all. She did release a new single, but I just have nothing to say about it because it was rather uninteresting.
Right, correct. So on to more unfortunate news. I think I just want to talk about Kevin Spacey and just kind of what's going on in Hollywood right now. We intentionally passed on talking about Weinstein, just feeling like we didn't have much to add there, and might be a similar case here, but just the fact that this is just escalating so much, and the background is the reports about Kevin Spacey, all the sexual harassment allegations started again Sunday, the day this all happened after we recorded our pod.
I think I read the Anthony Rapp article that night, actually.
It was
so the story
night.
Broke that night, I think.
Mm-hmm. So Anthony Rapp was the first to come out and just claim that he was sexually harassed by Kevin Spacey when he was 14 and has just kept it under wraps this whole time. And since then, there have been several more reports coming out, including several members of the House of Cards
production crew
claiming similar things. And now he has been dropped from his agency, from his publicist, House of Cards, and who knows what else.
So proud, by the way, that Anthony Rapp has, like, kicked off this second wave just because I love him. And it's tragic, but he really did open up a can of worms, and I love that, you know, it's all being validated, too, that more people are coming forward, and I think it's a really positive and brave thing he did. Just like Ashley Judd, I mean, props to her, she was like she was the Katniss Everdeen of this situation.
It's
I was
true.
Watching Hunger Games before. This,
and so. I don't know why, like, a male is the one that, like, made me more see this more clearly, but just the fact that, yeah, it is true, there was nothing for, as all victims will say, and is true, is that there is really nothing to gain for coming out and saying these things, and for Anthony to just put that out there, that was, like, definitely had to be so intentional. It's not like it was bubbling up and just, you know, had to come out. Yeah, so I thought it was very brave for him to put his experience to paper and share it with the world, and it has since been corroborated. Is that the right word?
Yeah, I would say so, by other victims who have come forward. Pretty gross.
And it definitely seemed like it was very obvious that it was, like, open secret, like everyone, the fact that everyone's coming out so fast, it was clearly very well known in the industry.
And then now they're like Dustin Hoffman, Brett Ratner, Danny Masterson. It's just kind of all building, which is just, again, really unfortunate and really gross that it's so widespread, but also, like, amazing that it feels like the lid is finally being ripped off for the public, and it's not just this, like, open secret within a pretty, like, elite, not elite, but, you know, sort of secretive society that is Hollywood.
Yeah, it's sort of incredible, actually, just what's happening. It feels like the whole, like, I don't know, like, the throne is crumbling or something, just...
Yeah.
The fact that all these Hyatt people are getting taken down, I think it's obviously a good thing. I think it's starting to create more transparency in the industry. And
yeah, and I guess the question now is, like, is this going to create lasting change, which remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for the Diane Sawyer Ashley Judd interview. Good for Diane Sawyer for landing that. But no, like, I think it's going to be really. Unless it already happened, actually. Yeah, I just think that'll be really fascinating because she was really, I think she did have stuff to lose. I mean, out of the very first batch of people in that expose, she was no doubt the biggest name, and she still is, like, an active working actress in Hollywood today. So, and she's been largely silent, so, like, mad props to her.
Anything else to say on that topic?
Nope.
Moving on. I don't know why I want to talk about this. I just do find it interesting. So, Gigi X Maybelline, for those that don't know, Gigi Hadid has been a spokesperson for Maybelline for a while, and she has come out with a new
collab
with this line. I do want to say I love that she is a spokesperson for a drugstore brand. It does make the whole collab, you know, and I'm comparing this specifically to, say, like, Kendall's attempt at partnering with Estee Lauder, Estee Edit. And so, yeah, I think it's a really good demo for her. I love drugstore brands. And so, yeah, I watched two videos where she did makeup looks, basically. Sounds like there's two different collections. One is, like, a West Coast look, and another one is, like, an East Coast glam. And the one thing I really wanted to say here was that the packaging looks really cool. Like, it's all, like, nude color, which...
It's interesting you say that because I feel like there was a lot of criticism about the packaging.
Really? Okay, so my initial thoughts were just that it looks nice, but that's also kind of, I think, what's trendy right now because it looks very similar to KKW, Kim Kardashian's collection, which is also, like, a nudie color.
It looks like... Hers is very nude. Though. That's packaging true. On hers is straight up flesh.
Okay. Oh, on Kim's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then Fenty has a lot of nude kind of color as well. And basically, I think what this all comes back to, actually, is Kanye. Like, I think with Yeezy, like, he might have started, and I'm not big on, like, all the fashion stuff and where this might originated from, but Kanye was definitely a big mover in that space of, like, his whole, like, collection was just a lot of tans and browns and nudes and just, like, and having that on top of each other. So I just thought it was, like, from a design aspect, kind of interesting to see how that developed. But what was the criticism?
Well, I think one of the pieces of criticism were, like, so you saw the packaging of it was like this palette, right? So you had, like, one big palette with, like, a lot of little compartments for each shadow or each gloss or whatever. And people were kind of, like, comparing it to those, like, sort of little play makeup sets that you had when you were a kid, and they're saying, like, wow, it looks just like my first makeup set. And then they do, like, those side-by-side picture comparisons because there were so many compartments within that one palette, and it just kind of almost looked like a toy.
Oh.
So that was something that I saw. I would actually – yeah, and I see what you're saying about the nude thing. I would also say it is kind of – it's nude, but it's also got that rose gold feel, which I feel like has been trending for a while.
Yeah.
So it, like, reminded me, actually, less of KKW and more of, like, the Naked, I think, 2 or 3 palette was the kind of vibes I got.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other criticism was that it is a Maybelline drugstore brand, but its price point is much higher than a typical Maybelline.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, set. So the price point is actually pretty high for Maybelline, so there was also, like, criticism around that.
Oh.
But it still sold, like, you know, kind of had a sellout and, you know, a lot of hype and stuff. So good for Gigi. I agree. I like that she's doing drugstore. You know, if someone gifted me this, I wouldn't, like, not want to try it. So
right.
But it did seem to, like, not exactly, like, blow the socks off people in the online makeup community.
Oh, interesting. In the reviews. So not just the packaging, but they also tried the product.
I think they were just like, it's fine. Whereas, like, Fenty, you know, it seemed to be getting pretty rave reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know that that was the case with Gigi's collection. But she'll be fine.
What's the critical review of Kylie Cosmetics?
You know, I don't know. People seem to love it. I think the color payoff and, you know, the product itself is pretty, it seems to be pretty good. And the price point is not too bad. And she does have, like, a pretty wide range of colors that are flattering on multiple skin tones, which I think is, like, a hot thing, right? So Fenty got a lot of props for that, too.
Hmm. I am curious that, and I've wondered this for a while, but, you know, what is it that really makes certain cosmetic lines stand out in quality? Since my impression is that everyone's, trying to do the best that they can, but what makes it so different?
I mean, I think with cosmetics, it's actually testable, though, right? Like, how long does it stay on your lips? Does it smudge? Like, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of ingredients are you using?
Yeah.
So
that's true. And I can't necessarily put Gigi, like, on the same level as, you know, Rihanna and Kylie are, like, full-blown going after, you know, this cosmetics. Yeah. Like, this is more just a collab with Maybelline that Gigi's doing.
Yeah. Also, I love how you say collab.
Wait, how do you say it? Collab?
Collab.
Oh. It's as if I think collab is the full word.
It's as if you're making it, like, a prefix. To, like, co is the prefix.
Okay, so let's move into follow unfollow. I don't have an unfollow, but I will tell you one of my follows, and since I need to be keeping you abreast of what's happening in the YouTube space.
Yes.
And this is not new at all by any means, but my follow of the week is Shawn Johnson, yes, the former Olympian gymnast. She has a YouTube channel with her then boyfriend, now husband, and I just think they're so cute.
Oh, wow, you watch it?
Yeah, I have been watching it this week. I've been watching a lot of their videos. I'm not going super deep, but it's just like, it's just your very basic, which, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but on YouTube right now, what's trendy right now is couples and vlogging and doing those challenges. It may seem like they've been around for a while, but, like, those are what's getting, like, a lot of views these days. So they're kind of prime candidate for that. And so, yeah, they moved to LA to enhance their YouTube career.
God.
They used to live in Nashville and live that life, which I think I really liked. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's really cute. She's, like, you know, because she's a really, like, short girl, and he's, like, a very tall NHL player, I believe, or former NHL player.
Oh, very Hayden and Vladimir.
Yes, those vibes. Yeah, I just think it's really cute because I feel like they are, you know, on that level of fame that I feel like is relatable. It's not relatable at all to me, but at least just more approachable. And so, you know, sometimes they do glam, they have glam and go to events and stuff, but most of the time I think they're probably doing pretty normal thing. So that is my follow of the week on YouTube.
Okay, cool. Good to know. Did not even know what Shawn Johnson was doing these days. So educational.
Mm-hmm.
Love that you're keeping me abreast of the YouTube world.
Now named Shawn Johnson East, by the way.
Yeah, who knew? Now I know. So you don't have an unfollow?
No.
Okay. My unfollow is quick and easy, but I literally did unfollow someone today, and it was Christina Shulman from The Bachelor. Just because I followed her in the height of the Christina Dean D-Lo love triangle drama that was all the rage this summer. Then she really just posts a lot of selfies of herself looking really hot in bikinis, and it's just unnecessary for my feed. So I unfollowed her today. My follow is not an official follow, but I've decided that I'm going to start keeping track of when celebrities comment on other celebrities' Instagrams, because I feel like that shows friendship and it amuses me a lot. So I just have three random ones that I thought were funny and probably only to me that I just, you know, maybe I'll share that. Maybe
please share.
Care. So the first one is Kendall Jenner posted a picture of herself on Halloween, and Gigi Hadid commented, "Major!" exclamation point. And Vanessa Hudgens commented, "Everything!" with multiple G's.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was fun. Second one was Brian Greenberg, deep cut here.
Yep.
Brian Greenberg posted a picture of himself taking, like, a reflection selfie against what I'm assuming is a hotel window, looking out upon a view of, I'm going to guess, New York, because the caption was, "We both never sleep." Get it?
Like, yeah.
The city that never sleeps.
Yep.
And then Jerry Ferrara, Turtle of Entourage.
Turtle?
Yes. Again, a deep cut here. Commented, "Same here, ha." Huh. So again, thought that was random and funny. Last one, another Kendall. She posted a picture of herself on her way to her 22nd birthday party. It was a picture of her outfit. So neck down of her cropped white tee and her jeans and her sparkly boots. So you can't see her face at all. And so Jen Atkin, Hollywood's favorite hairstylist, commented, "Are we fired?" at one Mary Phillips, who is Kendall Jenner's makeup artist. I thought that was funny because, you know, you can't see the hair or makeup.
That's so funny. Yeah, I did. I did actually, when you mentioned this topic, I did see Jen Atkin comment on Kendall's other pictures, like being like, you know, normal stuff, like fire to her outfit or just like looking hot and stuff. Like,
yeah. Oh, I followed her this week, so there's a follow.
Oh, Jen Atkin?
No, I didn't follow her. I was going to, and then I saw that her feed was actually really boring, so I didn't.
Yeah, her feed is quite boring. But she is one of those that, in terms of celeb Insta comments, I see her often.
Yeah, she seems to have really genuine relationships with all these ladies,
so
which I appreciate.
You're viewing these as, like, genuine friendship, which I think sometimes they are, but how much of it do you think is just, like, thirst for friendship? Like, in that...
Yeah, either. Okay. That's why I just think they're funny. It's, like, they're one or the other. Like, Vanessa Hudgens, you're not friends with Kendall, are you? Like, I don't think you are.
Yeah.
So why, like, but then, it does amuse me quite a bit to see her. And I do like seeing the Kardashian sisters commenting on each other's Instas because we know that they are, you know, friends. So
yeah, definitely.
It's like those, you know, celebrities, they're just like us moments. We won't drag it out anymore.
This was robust, but I think we covered some really good content, and especially good because it was non-Taylor content.
Though, I'm pretty sure last week it was just 100% Taylor.
It was. And so no promises that we won't talk about her again next week, but...
I have a feeling this Jelena is going to develop some more and we'll have some more thoughts about that. Jelena might be our new Taylor.
Great episode. We'll see you again next week. Hope.
Yeah, this is great. I get to see your face once a week this way.
I know. And
just more than I would otherwise. Bye. Are we still saying see you next Tuesday?
See you next Tuesday.